welcome to Northside Today.
Hey, Aoife, how's it going?
First of all, I must ask you, you spoke to Noel McGuinness over a week ago now about Rabble and getting funding for Rabble, the We Fund It project, isn't it?
Yeah, we're using crowdfunding as a mechanism to secure our next four issues for the rest of this year and into 2014. So we're about maybe 35% of the way towards our goal of 9,000, and we've about 23 days left to go. We're about 3 weeks.
Since you spoke to Noel, how's it going?
Yeah, it's going well. I mean, we've had like lots of kind of sponsors and so on come on board, offering us kind of additional rewards for our funders, such as tickets to Boomtown Festival in England, which is emerging as a bit of a rival to Glastonbury, and we're planning a few kind of giddy up chances for our supporters to get together. We're doing one on May 15th in the White Lady Art Gallery, which is just a chance for people, I guess, to meet and greet us and find out about what we're doing with the project. So it's kind of getting ahead of steam, but it's kind of one of those things where people need to get behind us, or it's an all or nothing sort of project, I suppose. So
Great. Keep us posted with that. But anyway, talking to you today. I'm lucky enough to have a sneak preview of Asan Thalav last night, which I must say is excellent. You did a great job.
Yeah, well, we've been working on it for the past year and a half. It's a documentary about the Irish underground, the underground rave scene in Dublin since the late 80s. So we've been interviewing basically people who were participants in the scene and gathering footage and archive material to make up the doc. And we're going to hopefully have it finished by the end of the summer. But we'll be giving people a little sneak preview of it at FizzFest on May 4th.
Tell me, how did you, I've done something similar myself. Where did you get the idea of Asan Thalav, or what inspired you to do this?
I think if you look at other cities like Manchester, or even, I guess, basically New York or Chicago, like all these cities are associated with dance music, and everybody knows the kind of the history and the myths of the scene. But when it comes to, say, Dublin, or I guess even the Irish scene more broadly, they tend to exist in the shadow of these other cities. That could be the whole maybe post-colonial lack of self-confidence or whatever. But there is quite a rich history there that a lot of people aren't really aware of. And it's only really true, I guess, the work of, say, your own radio project, or Gary O'Neill's Where Were You, or the efforts of people who were involved in the scene to set up Facebook groups and the like to kind of archive the flyers and material, that people are aware of it. So I guess coming off the back of seeing what other people have done like that, I kind of wanted to do something that sort of let the voices be heard and try and sketch, I guess, the bare bones of what happened over, I suppose, 20 years ago, and how it feeds into what's going on today in these scenes.
How far does it go back for you? Like, how far do you remember yourself? Like, I do remember a lot of what was on your programme that I saw last night. How far does it go back for you?
Yeah, I guess that's kind of interesting. I mean, I'm only 29 or pushing 30. So one thing I found quite interesting was chatting to a lot of people around my own age who would have remembered growing up when stuff like The Prodigy's Jilted Generation was coming out, or you were seeing videos for, say, Josh Wink's Higher State of Consciousness and stuff like this, where the kind of the tropes and kind of images of this scene was even coming to you from quite a young age. So it always held a fascination, but of course it's not until you move to Dublin or go to college that you come into touch with it. A lot of the people we interviewed would have been my own age, would have listened to pirate radio stations or had the tapes that their older brothers would have had. I remember myself growing up, and my cousins used to go up to Rave Nation 95 and events like this in the Point, and they'd have the posters all over their walls, and you'd always be fascinated about it. Even hearing the negative publicity in the media at the time around the use of ecstasy and so on would always have kind of seeded a bit of a fascination with the scene, like, so.
when you're saying things about like Rave Nation and maybe listening to Power FM, did you think back then that it was an important time or that there was something special happening like the Sides days or the Club So days and maybe the Elevator Horny Organ Tribe times?
Did I think it was special? Or
yeah, did you notice that there was anything special going on, or did you think it was a prominent time?
I wouldn't have been around for it. So I think what I found, though, is talking to people is that a lot of people did seem to have an awareness that something special was happening or that this was a new scene. I mean, one of the guys from Liquid Wheels sort of said to me that he kind of described that you did have an awareness that you were on the cusp of something new. I mean, it completely transformed how people spent their weekends, as the old cliche goes. There's that other cliche about people no longer buying guitars and buying decks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a cultural shift of quite a profound significance. I think that comes across in the documentary fairly strongly.
Yeah, a lot, like, nearly every, like, around before 89 time, everyone had long hair, you know, particularly the guys, and they all started cutting their hair when they were going, you know, just, it was just a new thing, you know, just to, could they smartened up, I suppose, a little bit.
Yeah,
but the hippie thing was going, you know, in that secondhand clothes shop, and it was more sports clothes and short, tight cropped hair and stuff like that.
Yeah, and there's lots of material that we haven't been able to include in the documentary that we're hoping to turn into little miniature, mini featurettes or kind of DVD extras that we'll put online. And that kind of topic about people cutting their hair comes up as well with, say, the likes of Francois talking about how, dance floors were just so sweaty that you couldn't really, you just couldn't keep going to them if you had long hair. It just wasn't practical. So, I mean, those kind of cultural insights are fairly interesting as well and probably go generally underappreciated.
Yeah, I managed to see a lot of flyers. Some I'd never seen before, some of them I remembered very well. I also saw a lot of photographs with a lot of very familiar faces in the shorts of that documentary last night, including some old footage. How did you get your hands on that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the internet was an amazing tool for this, really. I didn't have to go too far to chase it down. There's loads of Facebook pages out there with, there's the Asylum one, there's the Sides one, there's a few old school forum threads on Boards.ie that are fairly extensive. So I just kind of contacted people off them. There was stuff on YouTube as well. I mean, I think one of the more interesting things I came across was footage from the Mansion House in 1991. Which a guy called Tony McCrossan passed on to me, and he'd said he'd bought the footage with a magazine and Abbey Discs back in the day, and it had just been sitting in his attic on VHS, and just by pure chance, because he knew VHS was kind of becoming a dead format, he decided to digitalise it, and I went searching for the person who filmed it just to get permission to use it, and it turned out that only 7 copies of it had ever been made, and about 5 of them had been destroyed in a house fire. So I think like a lot of this material exists out there, but because it's so recent, people don't really appreciate that it's under threat. You know, I mean, quite a lot of the material may exist in digital format, and there's more chance of that being becoming perishable than, say, somebody who went out in the period before the mid-90s and took photos using film.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a physical format, it'll survive longer than something like a hard drive, which could crash. So there's lots of it out there under people's beds, really, and I think it's probably about time people start pulling it out and putting it out into the public domain for people to have it available to them to research and use for projects like this in the future.
Yeah, I have a few stashed in my old man's house, all right. Tell us about FizzFest, and you're going to have the preview of Os an Talamh at this festival, aren't you? I know Near FM are quite involved in it also.
Yeah, well, FizzFest is a local community arts festival basically in Fizzware, obviously, and it's basically on the weekend of May 3rd and 4th. So that's a Saturday bank holiday, and we're doing an event called Open the Gates, which will be starting at 4 p.m. in the Beer Garden in Hedigans with the Firehouse Gank dub reggae sound system, and then at 5:30 there's a thing being hosted called Raving at the Crossroads, where we'll be doing basically a preview of a selection of scenes from the documentary to give people a chance to plug back into it and see what we've been working on for the past year. And then that'll be followed by a panel discussion with Paul Tarpey from the Chiba blog in Limerick and Simon Conway from Electric City, Michael McKenna from Keep Stump, and then there was one other person as well.
Paul Chillage from one of the Chillage Idiots that also have a legendary radio programme on XFM, I think, or maybe it's podcasted now.
Yeah, like so that would be a chance for people to basically see what we've been doing and feed into it and have a discussion off the back of it.
Yeah, that should be fun. And also there's going to be a lot of music during and after that also.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the Firehouse Gang sound system will be playing in the beer garden until about 10 o'clock tonight. They kind of specialise in dub reggae, and after that we'll be going down to the Hut, which is just on the corner there in Tisbury, and we'll have a selection of people from Kaboogie, yourself as well, and Bob from Standard. And then next door we'll be having kind of more harsher kind of bass and haunting electronica from like EOMAC, Cat Scars, and hopefully Fran Hartnett as well.
Brilliant. So give us, Austin Tolliver will be previewed, isn't it? Is it? It'll be previewed at 5:30.
At 5:30, yeah, upstairs in the, there's an upstairs room in the Brian Brew or Hedigan's. So we'll be showing it up there at 5:30, yeah.
And FizzFest is the 3rd and 4th of May.
Yeah, it's happening. There's events on all that week. There's even old barges on the canal as I speak at the moment. So yeah, it's happening from the 3rd to the 6th of May, actually.
And if anyone wants to get more information, you have a Facebook page for Austin Tolliver, and also regarding Rabble as well, it also has a Facebook page.
Yeah, you can find them both events on Facebook, like,
and the funded page. Well. Yeah, and the funded page for Rabble.
The funded page, if you just check us out on Facebook or at our main website, rabble.ie, you'll find links to the funded page. Or if you just go to funded.ie, you'll be able to find Rabble if you look under the media and publishing section of the website.
James, thanks for talking to me today.
Cool.